Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Who doesn't love getting something for free? Labor Day deals have arrived at the Home Depot, and right now you can get a free Milwaukee 18-volt extended capacity battery, $159 value, when you buy a select tool. Get longer runtime and more battery life so you can power all your fall projects. Shop Labor Day deals and get a free battery when you buy a select tool at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in store and online.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, there were five Guardians in the All-Star game, and at least three of them had a pretty decent night. One of them had a pretty scary night, and Jose Ramirez, the most experienced Cleveland All-Star in the game, had a pretty quiet night at the plate. I don't know if he was feeling the effects of competing in the Home Run Derby the night before, but Jose didn't do much, didn't have much to talk about him. A line out and a strikeout in his two at bats, and got out of the game pretty early. The big standout performances, obviously David Fry with an RBI single in his first ever All-Star at bat, and then Manuel Clase coming through with his second All-Star game save to lead the American League to a 5-3 comeback victory. What'd you think of, just everything you saw and everything that you sort of took in from the All-Star game and how Cleveland performed in the game?
Yeah, I really liked, you got to like Fry's at bat, his pinch hit at bat, what, in the third inning? I was surprised he pinch hit that early. Were you? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I know it's the All-Star game, but, you got to get your players in. But that was a great move by Bochy. And he comes through with the single, RBI single, ties it up. What a 3-3. And I was thinking, Joe, this is a guy that went into the break in an 0-for-17 slump. So he hopefully this gets him going for the second half.
Yeah, that would be nice to see that sort of kickstart something. Stephen Kwan obviously had, one of the most anticipated at-bats of the All-Star game. His leadoff at-bat against Paul Skeens in the first inning ended up popping out to shortstop in that at bat, but in his second at bat, he drew a walk, was on base for Juan Soto's two-run single that got the American League on the board at first. So a productive night for Kwan, not exactly a hit in the All-Star game like we were all hoping or expecting to see him get, but just to be able to not strike out in that at bat against Skeens leading off. I mean, he was facing, 98 mile an hour, four seam fastball, 94 mile an hour sinker. What Skeens has the ability to do out there on the mound, for an entire start is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And, give Kwan credit. He was making contact. He was out right on a couple of those pitches, but, Skeens is, that's a franchise arm right there, and he was very, very impressive. I think there was some people were wondering why a rookie is starting the All-Star game for the National League, and he certainly showed why.
Yeah, and whether or not he deserved to be in that spot or not, that's a completely different debate. But we know the reason why, and we could see why the stuff was so special in Major League Baseball. Wanted to get him out there and give him sort of that spotlight. As far as the National League, Shohei Ohtani, I didn't realize this, but it was the first time a Dodgers player had ever hit a home run in an All-Star game. That seems crazy to me, but big home run weekend for the Dodgers as Teoscar Hernandez wins the home run derby on Monday. Shohei Ohtani comes up with a 3-run home run to give the National League all of its runs there in the third inning. That was the baseball runners at Major League Baseball Network and at the league offices, couldn't have scripted it any better than Shohei Ohtani hitting a ball 400 feet.
Yeah, that was, that's just what they wanted. They wanted the, one of the bright, one of the faces of the game to, perform well at the All-Star game. The Tommy John surgery on his elbow kept him out of the home run derby, but certainly didn't hurt his swing last night, Joe.
Yeah, you talk about the marquee names and the marquee faces of the game. Aaron Judge, a couple of groundouts to third base, and that, not a lot of productivity out of Judge, but he's a guy who's got more than 34 home runs already this year, so he's on pace to have another MVP season there. As far as the Cleveland performances, the scariest moment, I think the most concerning moment for pretty much any Guardians fan watching was that double play that was attempted in the fifth inning, that was turned in the fifth inning. And all it cost Josh Naylor was Freddie Freeman stepping on his ankle.
Yeah, that was not good, especially when you saw it, kind of up close and in slow motion. That did not look good. And hopefully Josh is okay. He stayed in the game. He didn't come out of the game. I don't think he was limping too much, but just a tough, tough play. And weird to see a challenge in the All-Star game, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I think everybody realized after they saw the first replay that Freddie Freeman kind of pushed Josh Naylor's foot into the bag, and he was out. Bruce Dreckman, the umpire, originally ruled that Naylor had missed the bag. He was off the bag with his foot as he tried to get back and receive the return throw from I believe it was Gunnar Henderson, or it was Bobby Witt. It was Bobby Witt at shortstop, but Freddie Freeman's foot sort of pushed Naylor's into the bag, and at that moment he was out. So James Hoy, the local umpire who was working behind the plate, his first All-Star game, gets on the microphone and says that the call is overturned. The inning was over, and we just held our breath. I don't know. Were you like me, Hoynsey? Did you immediately Google Josh Naylor broken ankle to make sure that it was the right ankle that he injured in 2021 and not the left one that got stepped on last night? Because I think, a lot of people were holding their breath here in Cleveland to make sure Josh Naylor was okay. And you're right. He did stay in the game. He didn't necessarily look like he had a huge limp or anything like that, but Josh Naylor, I think, he's such a tough guy. We've heard Stephen Vogt talk about it time and again, how his toughness is something that resonates in that clubhouse. And, he already looks like he gets when he's not running full speed, he already looks like when he walks around, he's Jim Brown getting up after being tackled. So, a few people get that reference, but Jim Brown looked like he was injured after every play when he was tackled. Josh Naylor, doesn't exactly have a lot of bounce in his step in between plays, but he's tough. He stays in there and he gets the job done. So hopefully he's not delayed at all coming out of the All-Star break when the Guardians get back on the field.
Yeah, and he'll have a couple of days here, wherever they go, come back to Cleveland. They open in Cleveland, mm-hmm. So I'm sure he'll come back to Cleveland, or maybe, who knows, maybe spend some time with his family. I know they have a place in Arizona, so maybe they'll spend a couple of days there and get back here on time. I don't know if they'll have a workout Thursday or not, Joe.
Yes, there is an optional workout on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So maybe maybe the All-Star guys usually kind of are excused from that. I know in the past they've been excused from that just to give them kind of an extra day to catch their breath, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's probably the optional part of the optional workout, I would assume. But, some of these guys I would expect maybe to be ready to go and raring to go when they get back. That's not a thing. As far as Naylor goes, I saw – some quotes from Josh Naylor prior to the game, after the home run derby and all that. He was asked about playing with his brother Bo, and you know how exciting it is for the family to all be there in Texas with him. And he talked about both of his brothers and wanting them to someday be at the All-Star game with him. He said his dream now that he plays every day with Bo, now the dream is, you know, get Bo and get Miles in that clubhouse in the locker room. He said, yeah, maybe they can have lockers right next to mine here in the All-Star clubhouse. That would be great. So always good to have your goals set very high and your family goals like that. And, Josh Naylor, speaking it out there, hopefully, something happens and Bo Naylor and Miles Naylor both make the All-Star game with their brother Josh.
Yeah, that'd make a great picture, wouldn't it? That would be really, really cool. And I wonder if there was ever three brothers at the same All-Star game. I wonder. Who would lose? Maybe, you know that. But I'm sure there's been two brothers for sure. I think the Alomars were.
Yeah,
probably
the Alomars were in a game, and weren't they in the game in Toronto years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so. Yeah.
And they were in Cleveland in 97, too, when Sandy hit the home run.
So, yeah, I mean, that's there wouldn't be the first. I'm sure we could text Elias and find out. They're usually the experts on such things. All right. I want to remind our listeners, subtext is the best way to get updates on the Guardians directly to your phone. Skip all the social media. Get the news directly from Hoynsey and from me. As it happens, immediately, it's $3.99 a month to subscribe. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 to subscribe. We will look forward to having you as part of the subtext community and go back and forth with all sorts of news about what's going on here with the Guardians. Let's look at the final day of the draft. The final 10 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft took place on Tuesday. Hoynsey had the wrap up there, and the Guardians continued sort of with their theme of targeting pitching.
Yeah, Joe, definitely a pitcher heavy draft again. The 21 players they selected, 16 were pitchers. I think four of them were high school pitchers. The others were college kids. So, another really kind of, lean toward the pitching side of things. They got their main position player in Travis Bazzana with the first overall pick. And now, in talking to Paul Gillespie, the director of, the scouting director, the senior vice president of scouting for the Guardians, he said the pitching group was doing handstands after this draft. they were really excited about the arms they were able to bring into the organization. Now you got to get them signed, but Joe, I think most of those guys, the Guardians don't draft guys unless they know they can sign them. They haven't missed on a guy in a long, long time. So I'm sure most of those guys have come to terms or pretty close to it. I know Bazzana, if they've reached a tentative deal with him, he's supposed to come into Cleveland in the near future to probably announce that deal. And then if they follow tradition, they'll all go out to Arizona and have kind of an introductory course to the organization, what's expected of them. They'll take their physicals and they'll work out there for a while, and then the decision is made, who needs a rest, who might be able to go out and still play in the remainder of the minor league season.
Yeah, and that's sort of the big question is, are we going to get to see Travis Bazzana at one of the minor league levels? I would assume if they're going to start him anywhere, he would go to Lynchburg, but does he play in the Arizona Complex League for a game or a few games there to see what he's got, or what's the precedent here in terms of where a guy of his status and his stature could end up if he even decides to play any games at all this year?
Yeah, you know, I think last year they had game, you know, those guys, the draft class kind of played games among themselves out there. They had a few games with the, probably the complex league. And, you know, then a decision was made. But I can't, some pitchers did go into, Lynchburg or maybe, I think Lynchburg and maybe Lake County, that they eventually worked their way into that for the last part of the minor league season. But a guy like Pisano, who played a lot, they might just give him the rest of the season off. But I'm not sure about that. But, I would think it just, by getting a read on Pisano's personality, I would think he'd want to play. I'm sure he wants to play somewhere. But, we'll see. We'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah, I get the sense that, this is a guy who's very motivated and very much wants to, be a part of a team and an organization and sort of put his stamp on and show his personality in terms of what kind of leadership qualities he has to want to go in and continue his season and keep playing no matter where they tell him to go. I don't know. It would be it's a pipe dream to just imagine that, he could wind up finishing out the season at Lake County so that we could maybe get over and see a couple of his games. Much easier drive than going down to Lynchburg. But as far as, just the possibility of it, that would be great. Less of a chance that the second round kid, the high school kid, the right-hander, Braylon Doty, I think, they'll probably take it a little easier with him. But maybe the catcher that they got in the third round, Jacob Cozart, maybe he could wind up somewhere just to sort of dive into the system and try to get up to speed in terms of catching, because there's a lot more to learn there than other places. So we'll see, but it'd be interesting. Hopefully we get to talk to Travis Pisano at some point, maybe during this upcoming homestand. They'll have a availability with him, and we can sit down and have a conversation, and that'd be fun to learn a little bit about him from that introductory press conference, if we ever get a chance to do something like that.
Hey, Joe, this is where they kind of miss, having Mahoning Valley and the Penn, right. The New York Penn League. That was where all the college players went after they were drafted. And, that's been dissolved, that league. So now you kind of I think most of these guys will probably stay in the complex, at the complex, maybe playing some games in the complex league. And then, a decision is made.
Yeah, so we'll have to follow up with Chris Antonetti and the other four folks in the organization to see what the plans are for Travis Pisano. Maybe we'll be surprised by it. Who knows? All right, before we get going, one more note that we have to mention, and I know you probably don't want me to bring it up, Hoynesy, but we got some news yesterday out of the All-Star BBWAA meeting at the All-Star break. They announced the final ballot for the BBWAA's Lifetime Achievement Award. That's the annual award that recognizes the baseball writer for meritorious service to the craft of baseball writing. Your friend Sheldon Oker, won the award in 2018. Other Cleveland BBWAA chapter winners include Hal Lebowitz and Gordon Kobeldick. Hoynesy is a finalist. It was announced yesterday, and we wait until December when the vote will take place at the winter meetings, and we'll find out whether or not Hoynesy's headed to Cooperstown next year. Kind of interesting. Tom Boswell, the longtime San Francisco Chronicle. Tom Boswell is from the Washington Post. He's a columnist, and Bruce Jenkins from the San Francisco Chronicle are the other two finalists on the ballot. Hoynesy, what'd you think when you heard the news that you're a finalist for pretty much the highest award in our profession?
Joe, I'm stunned. I really am. I'm stunned, and I'm really grateful to have our chapter, the Cleveland chapter of the BBWA, nominate me, and the committee that picks the final three guys for each year for the ballot to put my name on there. So I'm stunned. I really am. I don't know. I'm really humbled, and I, you know, with Bruce and Boz, those guys, I'm in some tall cotton right there. So I don't know, but I'm pleased. My family's really happy. I'm still a little. It doesn't feel real right now.
Well, I mean, what, 42, 43 years on the beat? What? Correct me if I'm wrong with any of that. What?
Yeah.
How long? Since
I think 42. Since 83 was first year on the beat.
42 years covering, you know, baseball in Cleveland, you know, 13 managers, dozens of trips to the postseason, and just every, you've covered as many, you know, 100 loss teams as you have, you know, 90 win teams and playoff runs. You deserve this award. Don't be humble. You deserve this award as much as anybody who's ever won it. And I think every chance we get to tell people they need to vote for you in the when the election comes around, it's certainly we're gonna take those opportunities and do that. I just think you're made for this award. The other guys, you know, Boz and Jenkins they're columnists. They cover they write about other sports too. You're the baseball writer. You're the daily beat guy. You're the Iron Man of this beat, and you've done it for so long, and you've done it so amazingly well. And I shake my head at how you've been able to get from one side of this country to the other on, you know, multiple plane rides and hotel rooms and over 40 years, how parts of you haven't been left on different sides of this continent. Miracle to me. I mean, people know the story of two belts, and people know the story of, you know, all these great Hoynesy stories. It's just a miracle to me that you're not in some hotel somewhere, you know, just I again, for you to be able to do this long, it's a blessing to all of us, and we hope you get recognized for it. And if it's not this year, then it's coming soon. At some point, you're going to be in Cooperstown. So that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Go out and get your Vote Hoynesy t-shirts printed, and we'll wear them in the press box so that everybody knows. We will follow this all the way through December and talk about it probably a bunch more here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Paul, we'll check in with you again tomorrow ahead of the optional workout at Progressive Field.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for those nice words, too. thank you. That's all I can say is thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Paul.